Well, the message today is, I hope, very simple. Who or what is a Christian? Do you know? Is it someone who goes to church? Or is it someone who believes in God? Or maybe it's someone who goes about doing good? Or someone who was christened as a baby? Who or what is a Christian? Well, the word itself is a bit of a giveaway, isn't it? A Christian is a follower of Christ. In fact, it was a first century nickname for the followers of Jesus, and the name has stuck. But are we any nearer as to what a Christian is? Well, one of the best definitions of a Christian comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself. The Apostle Paul is giving his testimony. He's standing before a king, a Roman governor, assorted VIPs, and he's telling them of the day when he, Paul, became a Christian. He meets with the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives him a special work to do. This is what Jesus says to him. He says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. To do what? To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. And there you have it. A sixfold definition of a Christian. Did you hear it? So very briefly, six marks of a Christian. And the first thing we're told is, Christians have had their eyes opened. Have you? And what Jesus says, I will deliver you, Paul, from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes. Christians have had their eyes opened. We sang Amazing Grace, John Newton's famous hymn. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. The eyes are opened. So what do they now see that once they didn't see? Many years ago, there was an old man. He lay ill in bed. And he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. And over his bed, he'd written, God is nowhere. N-O-W-H-E-R-E. And one day his granddaughter came to visit him, and she was just learning to read. So he said to her, read what's written over my bed. And slowly she read, God is, and then there was this big word, nowhere. It seemed too big to read all at once, so she said, God is now here. God is now here. And the old man got a shock. For the first time in his life, he realized that God is. And God is here. Do you see? A Christian's eyes are opened. And they see that God is here. Not just that God is, but that God is here. And with new eyes, they look around them. Who made it all? And out of nothing, God. And who made me? God. So here I am, God's creature, living in God's world, enjoying God's blessings, and I'm living as though God is nowhere. But God is here. And sometimes when the eyes are opened, they get a shock. You ever been asleep? You've opened your eyes to find that someone's been looking at you all the time. Bit of a shock, isn't it? That's what happens to Christians. Their eyes are opened and they realize that God has always been here. And that God has always seen them. Before we leave this point, what brought them to this eye-opening experience? What opens the eyes? And the answer is the Bible. It's through contact with the Bible, through contact with God's Word, that people's lives are invaded by an inescapable sense of God. Christians have had their eyes opened. Have you? Number two, a Christian has been turned. I'm sending you, Paul, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. Now, what's it like to be in the dark? Well, one thing, you don't know where you're going. So before a person becomes a Christian, they may have many questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What's the point? What happens when I die? Maybe you've got questions like that. Many questions, but no satisfactory answers. Why? Because they're in the dark. But when the eyes are opened, when the light begins to dawn, they see. They see that up until now, the whole of their life has been going in the wrong direction. That actually they've been walking on a road. It's a wide road. It's a road moving in a downward direction. It's what Jesus calls the broad way that leads to destruction. Yes, because at the end of that road is a precipice, is a sharp drop, is a cliff edge, which at death they will stumble over. They couldn't see it before. Their eyes were shut. They were in the dark. But now they see the danger that they're in. And so they turn. They turn away from that road. They turn from darkness to light. They turn from the wrong way to God's way. They turn from that broad way to what Jesus calls the narrow way. The way that leads to life. A Christian has been turned. Have you? And number three, a Christian is under a new power. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. A Christian is under a new power. Now on the 18th of April 1942, 16 twin-engined bombers, Mitchell bombers, took off from the American aircraft carrier the Hornet, in what became known as the Doolittle Raid. It was just 4 months after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. And their mission was to bomb Japan. It was a very audacious and brave and courageous mission. On the last bomber to take off was a corporal. His name was Jake DeShazer. He'd grown up in a Christian home, but he turned his back on it all. Well, after dropping their bombs, Jake and his crewmen had had to bail out over Japanese-occupied China. And it wasn't long before they were captured. And then Jake and his comrades endured beatings, starvation, and torture. In fact, the Japanese treated them like criminals. And as Jake endured the unendurable, he came to hate his Japanese captors with a burning hatred. However, into his possession came a Bible. The Bible he knew so well. The Bible he'd been taught as a boy. Maybe they had a Friday club, I don't know. But it was the Bible he turned his back on. But as he read it, guess what happened? God opened his eyes. And he saw for the first time. He saw that he walked out on God. And that as a sinner, he was walking on that broad road, the broad way that leads to destruction. But he saw something else. That God had sent his Son into the world, not to condemn, but to save. And Jake, he turned from his sins to Jesus Christ. He turned from darkness to light. And he became a changed man. This is what he says. He said, "Oh, how my heart rejoiced in my newness of spiritual life. Suddenly, I discovered that God had given me new spiritual eyes. And that when I looked at the Japanese officers and guards who had starved and beaten me and my companions so cruelly, I found my bitter hatred for them changed to loving pity. And now from the depths of my heart, I prayed for God to forgive my torturers. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Hate, a burning hatred, it turns to love. How do you account for the change? He was under a new power, the power of God, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. And after the war, Jake returned to Japan to proclaim this wonderful message to the Japanese, this life-changing message of Jesus. And one of those who was converted was a Mitsuo Fushida, and he was the chief pilot at Pearl Harbor. If you've seen the film, he was the pilot who said, "Torah, Torah, Torah." And now former enemies reconciled to become the dearest of friends. They've been transformed, you see. They've been changed by the power of God. Christians are under a new power. Are you? And number four, a Christian is forgiven. Jesus goes on, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Jake DeShazer again, he says, God gave me grace to confess my sins to him, and he forgave me and saved me for Jesus' sake. Now what does Jake mean? Forgiven for Jesus' sake. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I've wronged God. I really have. I've lived and played where God has forbidden. I've never loved God with all my heart. I've never loved other people like I love myself. What a mess we're in. Just like that young man in the pigsty, we're in a mess. And in the Bible's words, I'm a sinner. And I can't undo, I can't undo what I've done. Says the Bible, real offences against God demand a real punishment. And having sinned against the infinite God, justice demands an infinite punishment in the hell that lies at the bottom of that precipice. So is there an answer? What did Jake say? God forgave me for Jesus' sake. We had the reading, didn't we? Can you see Jesus? His face beaten beyond recognition. His head crowned with thorns. His back, his back torn to shreds by the whip. And now he's nailed to a cross. And you have to ask, what is he doing there? Because he's innocent. He never sinned. He always did those things that were pleasing to God. What is he doing there? Well, upon that cross, the sins of countless people who've offended God, those sins were put to Jesus' account. So that when God came to punish the guilty, it was Jesus who took the blame. And because Jesus took the blame for what others have done, everyone who comes as a sinner to Jesus can enjoy peace with God. Just as Jake says, forgiven for Jesus' sake. So do you see? Christians aren't good people. They're bad people. The people who God has forgiven for Jesus' sake. Have you been forgiven? And number five, Christians have a wonderful inheritance, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. And many years ago, a rich man who was boasting took his friend to the top of his house. to show him just how rich he was. He said, "See that farm over there in the distance? That farm belongs to me. See that house over there in the opposite direction? That also belongs to me. In fact, almost as far as the eye can see, it's all mine. It all belongs to me." But his friend said, "See that village over there in the distance? I see it. Well, in it lives a poor woman who can say more than all of this." "What? How? Rubbish! What can she say?" And his friend said, "She can say, 'Jesus is mine.'" Do you see, Christians have Christ. They can say, "I am his and he is mine. And if he is mine, then all that is his is mine. The treasuries and the estates of heaven are a Christian's everlasting inheritance." Christians love to sing of Jesus. And one of the hymns they love to sing is, "In him there dwells a treasure all divine, and matchless grace has made that treasure mine. And at death, they go to be with him." Do you like a glass of beer? Fred Charrington, of the brewing family, he became a Christian. He'd seen too much drunkenness, so he turned his back on his father's brewing empire. He was giving up the life of a millionaire. It was like throwing away the winning lottery ticket. But on his father's deathbed, he said to Fred, "You have chosen the better part. It will not be taken from you." Where are your riches this morning? And the last one, number six. Christians are sanctified, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. It's a big word, isn't it? Sanctified. What does it mean? It simply means being set apart. Christians are set apart. Who are they set apart for? Well, for Jesus. So the Christian life is never a wasted life. My friend, you've only got one life. You can only spend it once. You can't spend it twice, can you? So what are you going to spend your life on? A Christian spends their life for Jesus. They no longer live for themselves. They live for him. They love him. They follow him. They obey him. Because he alone is worthy. Worthy of all their life. Worthy of all their devotion. Worthy of all their hearts. There's no one like Jesus Christ. Sanctified, set apart by faith in me. So who or what has your life? What are you spending it on? Six marks then of a Christian. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. Do you see? Becoming a Christian. Is it blind faith? No, the eyes are opened. Are your eyes opened? Is it to step into the dark? No, it's to turn from the dark to the light. Have you been turned? Is it a sort of self-inflicted misery? No, it's to step off that treadmill of sin and to live in a new way and to live under a new power. Which is the better Jake? The Jake that's bitter and twisted by hatred? Or the one who now loves his enemies? Are you under a new power? And to be a Christian, is it being good enough to get to heaven? On the contrary, it's own up to what I am, that I made a mess of my life, that I'm bad, I'm a sinner. and confessing my sins, finding that I'm forgiven for Jesus' sake. Let me ask you, do you live with the calm of sins forgiven? And is it to be a loser? Well, judge for yourself. A Christian gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Where's your treasure this morning? Is your treasure safe? And is it a wasted life? No, it's a life that's surrendered to Jesus Christ the Lord, sanctified by faith in me. So ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, are you a real Christian? We've held up, haven't we, the Bible's picture. That's what a Christian looks like, says the Bible. Well, does that look like you? Do you know those things? No? Then you know what to do. Come to Jesus Christ. You're in a mess. Time to put the matter right. Lord, I have messed up. But you died on the cross to save messed up, condemned sinners. So Lord, save me and forgive me and change me. Lord, make me a real Christian.